Hi everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Data Labs podcast. My name is Katerina Constantinescu. I work as data scientist at the Data Lab Scotland, and I also organize the R user group here in Edinburgh, and it's actually called Edinburgh R. So here with me today is John Murdick, who is Director of Program Management at Linux Foundation. So hi there, John, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for inviting me back to Scotland, because we met my last trip here and you said, boy, you know, why don't you come back again? It's going to be sunny next time, we promise.
Well, I'm not sure how well that worked out this time, but you know, the important thing is that you're here at least.
Exactly.
Even if the sun isn't. So can you start by telling me a bit about what you do as part of the Linux Foundation?
So the Linux Foundation is really in the business of sustainable open source, and it focuses on what are the open, so millions and billions of open source code projects out there. We want to have the focus on what are the ones that are so critical to our society that they need sustainability built as a part of them so our society continue to function. So think of, you know, not just things as like the Linux kernel, which has, you know, just if we look at last year, $40 billion of M&A, you know, activity specifically around that. But also the automotive industry, the movie industry, the cloud networking, the whole nine yards there. And we're seeing new industries like energy start to pop up in here as well. We're about making sure that these industries that are investing in open source and these open source projects continue to thrive. They continue to be successful. The technologists can come together and collaborate. And then we sort of sit in the background and help provide that neutral home for all of that to happen. So I'm fortunate enough to work across a number of these projects. One of them, which I came and spoke at, was around our consortium, but also ODPI and some of the investments they have and a few other projects as well.
So it's a good thing you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you more about our consortium and what that actually is and what its purpose is.
Sure. So our consortium, founded by a number of sort of the big vendors in the R world, such as R Studio, Microsoft, and a number of others, you know, with the idea in mind of how can we ensure that this R community, which is growing, it's still growing at a greater pace. I mean, it's tied with the whole data science growth. How can it continue on for decades to come? And what are the challenges this community is facing? You know, not just in the core R language per se, but really their focus is the infrastructure around it. You know, how can that make sure that that continues to grow, is properly funded, has the right pieces in place for success? You know, meetups, events, all of that growth within that as well. Diversity within those communities, making sure helping bring that new generation in and making sure it's a welcoming space and just key infrastructure. That's what it's all about. And to date, it's put almost $750,000 US back into the R community, investing in things like the meetup group that you run.
That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And then that program has been growing leaps and bounds. I mean, I think combined with the R user group program and R ladies, I mean, we're touching, you know, probably close to 200 user groups worldwide that's hitting thousands and thousands and thousands of data scientists out there that are just trying to figure out this field, network with others, learn best practices, understand the scope of what's out there. And the consortium wants to be that thing of how can we, you know, how can we create that sustainability so these groups can get off the ground?
Right. So just there, you foreshadowed a bunch of the questions that I was going to ask you. So let's see if we can pause a bit more on community engagement. So it's really interesting because that's a big part of what the Data Lab does as well. So today we're basically having this chat during Data Summit, which is a big cog in this entire system of community engagement that we're in charge of. But from your perspective and given your experience, I was really curious to hear what you think contributes and maintains a really healthy and vibrant data science community, and what could we learn from that in Scotland?
So I often get asked the question, what is the exactly what you said, and then also the flip side question of what is the biggest deterrent or what is the thing that causes the most problems in the community? Yeah. And to both I say people, because communities are made of people. And ensuring that not only that you have sort of the right people at the table with all of the right interests, but you also have ways that everyone has a seat and everyone, you know, has an area where they feel at home, they feel comfortable, they feel like they can make a positive contribution, and you have sort of the infrastructure in place for these people to be successful. Those are the things you need in community. If you don't have that, I mean, the technology can be amazing. It can be groundbreaking. But if you don't have that sense of community of how all this comes together, it doesn't go anywhere. And there's numerous examples of that through time. I mean, you go back, you know, a decade or so in the cloud world, you could look at OpenStack versus Apache CloudStack. Many people at the time, if you look at it on paper, you could say Apache CloudStack was a superior technology. OpenStack had the better community ecosystem developed around it, and it won.
So it can clearly make such a huge difference.
It does. It is an amazing, amazing difference.
So to kind of expand on that, would you say this huge community component maybe sets apart R and its ecosystem from maybe other tools? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think R is very unique because, you know, the way I've always heard it described is you look at R and Python. If you grew up a computer science major, mm-hmm. Python made perfect sense to you. R looked weird. If you grew up a statistician or a math major, R makes perfect sense. Python looks weird. And so you see a lot of those cultural elements. And that doesn't mean one technology is good or bad. I mean, that's not really the point there. But it's more of, you know, where the mindset and where the design philosophies come from and how it's able to attack those problems and be a service to the people that are coming, you know, from that background. So I would say, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the unique part of always what makes open source special is that community and why something was created. What was the use case? What was the impetus? What was the, you know, an open source is often called, you know, you're scratching an itch. What was the itch it was trying to scratch? And I think that's where, you know, going back to, you know, some of the early authors around R, that's what, you know, Robert Gentleman, right? I mean, that's he came from Bath. This is an itch I'm trying to scratch here. That's what it's all about. And as you can see, that's created a huge move, and R is continuing to grow amazingly.
Yeah, it is actually. And I'm super pleased to say that as part of this growth, I think just maybe 3 months ago, I hope I'm not mistaken, we managed to set up an Our Ladies group right here in Edinburgh.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and not only that, but Mina Chetinkaya Rundell is actually moving to Edinburgh, and I'm sure she'll be a major part of Our Ladies here. So just to continue on that topic a little bit longer, how did the idea of Our Ladies start? And how has it been evolving?
So Our Ladies was started by a few women within the R community that saw, you know, basically the diversity problems, you know, just across tech. I mean, that is, if there's anything greater than open source, or just technology in general, diversity is just a gigantic challenge. Gender being one component, but, you know, even, you know, along race, religion, and a bunch of other factors as well. You know, they came to the R Consortium with an idea and needing some funding to go off the ground. And since then, it's really just exploded. I think what's really unique, and I know Gabrielle and a lot of that team very well, what I think is really unique is that they take such a personal touch and personal attachment because they know, you know, they've experienced the same things. And I can know I have two daughters at home and I, you know, can look across the industry and see sort of the challenge that, you know, women generally face out there. And we see that across just a number of different industries. And, you know, the Linux Foundation is just big in general and just investing in this area, diversity scholarships, you know, trying to bring people from more diverse backgrounds. You know, even from our staffing point of view, I mean, we're 50%, you know, gender, you know, we have 50% females on our staff. Our board has a greater gender diversity than most in our industry.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so we're really trying to take some really positive, and we have great leadership that's coming on board. Jamie Smith, who is a part of the Obama administration, has taken a really huge focus within the Linux Foundation open source as well, just help set diversity and inclusion standards and helping drive that through our communities. And we've seen communities like Hyperledger, which is going out there and saying, we want to have, you know, a 50% of our board be represented by women, you know, in the next few years. Even within the R community, the R Consortium is starting groups that are focusing around setting standards for conferences that are wanting to bring more diverse speakers and more diverse backgrounds in the play. So, you know, this is a huge area. Our Ladies was really at the tipping point, and their growth has just been phenomenal because there's just been so much organic interest, activity. I mean, you know, they've grown from like zero to, I think they're right now close to 150 or so chapters yeah. worldwide. I mean, somewhere close to that. Maybe by this recording, it'll be more, I don't know. Or by the time y'all are listening to this, but they've just done phenomenal. And they're starting to even get partnerships even outside of the ARC Consortium with other efforts. We have the Linux Foundation and other companies that are trying to solve the same problem.
Yeah, and I definitely think we're heading in the right direction because I was very pleasantly surprised to see that the attitude of people was just surprise and disbelief that we hadn't had an Our Ladies already set up in Edinburgh, so that's really encouraging, and definitely I think things are slowly moving in the right direction. It's not quite like that at all conferences, at all events, but definitely there is a push towards that, and that's amazing.
Yeah, and I would say the art community is I still, even though you probably all feel like you're at the tail end, you're still at the lead in this. I work with across a lot of different industries, and they're still playing catch up in this area. So this community at the same time is setting a great example.
Yeah. So if we look at the inclusiveness angle, one of the things that the Data Lab is trying to achieve in Scotland is not just cater to a data science audience in a general way, but actually make sure that we are introducing academics to members of industry and actually getting them to collaborate together on projects. So do you think there is some echo of that in what our consortium is doing?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. When our consortium was founded, a lot of the drive behind it was really just trying to help fund some of these efforts that are happening with the art community that were just unfunded completely, or, you know, so heavily used but underfunded. And I think you see a lot of parallels there. I think the one thing the ARC Consortium is trying to take an eye at is where in these technologies and efforts that are happening are going to have the biggest impact on organizations leveraging R. Because I think the one thing that ecosystem is, or at least the ARC Consortium has saw, is there can often be a little disconnect because R has, you know, predominantly been a very academic language. Academics, as they've came out of university, have brought it into organizations. But being able to sort of set, like, what do you need in a tool to be successful in your organization using it versus in an academic project, parallels, big differences also at the same time. And so I think that's, you know, I think a lot of these technologies always start in academia, in research and things oriented. But as they look to mature and come out into industry, these are areas where the ARC Consortium has good resources to help drive this and put together sustainability, which academic projects maybe not have just because of the term of which, you know, they're designed to. But if you're a business wanting to adopt it, you don't want a technology that's only going to be around for a little bit, or somebody throws up on our hub and says, hey, I did this as a grad project. If it's interesting, best of luck to you. They want things that they can trust because they're going to put their business critical business models on it. Like, they want to be able to depend on it. And there's been great companies like Microsoft in our studio that has definitely stepped up here. But having this organically happen as a part of the community and being an intentional action for the benefit of all, that's when we see things starting to go to the next level. And that's really what the ARC Consortium is there to do.
Yeah, and it's really exciting to see everything evolve in that direction, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about, I think, a more recent initiative that you've had, and it's really interesting to me. Are you trying to set up a sort of R certification or sort of data science license? And what are your thoughts on that? And where do you think this will go in the future?
So yeah, so there has been some earlier discussions between some of the members of our consortium that come from more of a training background about, you know, just when you see communities vary and technology spaces grow very organically, you start to see sort of the challenges of scale that begin to happen. So people, and one of those is, you know, people trying to help establish their credibility as being proficient in here. But if you're seeing it in an employer seat, you're like, okay, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I know? Like, if I hire this Katarina, does, like, is she great at R? Is she just somebody that took the R for Dummies book? Like,
maybe,
you know,
she's terrible.
Yeah, or maybe she's like the next Hadley Wickham. I don't know. Like, maybe she's all over the place. Probably not terrible. You seem a lot better than that.
Thank you.
But you know, and so again, like, as you're taking a technology and you're looking to bring it into your company, you're wanting to make sure that if you're making that investment, that is a sustainable investment for your company that can help lower the R&D costs for you being able to, you know, execute internally or deliver product, right? So, you know, there's certainly a lot of training that has happened out in there, very sort of decentralized, but, you know, there is at least some sort of cohesion. I think what a lot of that community is trying to do is saying, hey, can we set a standard certification, not only to sort of help employers with their dilemma, but also the people that are in your shoes, or probably maybe your shoes 10 years ago, that are just coming into this industry and saying, help give me a path of what I need to know. And that's what they're looking to do. And I think they're very, very early on in this. I mean, certification discussions go on for sometimes years. I'm certainly hoping this one doesn't go on that long. But, you know, it's certainly a tough subject because you also want to have community buy-in. You don't want to come in and just force something down people's throats. You want the entire community to participate. So that's sort of where they're at. I mean, I would encourage, there's a working group that's focusing on the R consortium. If that's an interesting topic, I would really encourage you to get involved.
Right. So this might be a difficult angle on it, but just hearing about this initiative, and I do welcome it. I think it's an amazing idea to push forward. But at the same time, I'm wondering, given how data science has been evolving and all the variety of skills it encompasses, what sorts of things do you think should be included, and what sorts of things do you think should maybe not be included as part of this certification?
Well, luckily, Katarina, I don't be the one who makes those decisions. The community does, which is thankful. You know, I think the way that if I look across industries and I think about certification, it's not about establishing the top, it's about establishing the bottom. And I think it's great within data science that it's so rapidly moving. It's being applied in new industries in new ways. And I think any certification program that comes with it has to be cognizant of that. And our belief is the only way you do that, it's not through a vendor. Like a vendor constrains that from being possible. Yeah. Only an open community can do that. And there's one thing I love about R is this community doesn't hold back. So your question there is probably the nicest way I've had somebody ask that same question, which is good. But I mean, I think that's that, you know, that means that this community really cares about that. And, you know, this is a challenge we see a lot of times across open source communities. You at one half, you want to have it help make sense to the commercial world of what this is all about and what are the rules of engagement. On the other half, the way this came together was organically and kind of meandering and a lot of scratch your own itch. How do you marry both of those together? There's not a For Dummies book on that. And that's frankly what we do at the Linux Foundation. I mean, not to kind of toot our own horn here, but I mean, we've done this in the automotive industry. We're doing this right now in the motion picture industry. We've done this in the cloud industry. I mean, if you want to talk about some angriness there, like that is an industry that is fierce, fierce competitors. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing even legacy industries like the mainframe industry. So it is by all means not a trivial exercise. But what I do see is if you do an exercise with this intentionally, you do it and have everybody at the table, and you also do it with a sense of, you know, how are we trying to create that boat that for everybody. You know, you usually have good outcomes, and you don't rush it. you know, if you have any Americans on this podcast, I'll use the word trust the process. I don't know if that's made its way across the pond yet. It's an NBA Sanhinkiism for the Philadelphia 76ers, but I often have to drop that in my communities, is like the communities I work with. I'm like, trust the process. Like, it's not a race. We will get there, and the output is better if you just kind of let the process work itself out.
Where do you think the R ecosystem will move towards in the next 5 to 10 years?
So I don't make predictions. And I take a tune from my buddy Brian Windhorst on that one there. I mean, here's the things we do know. Every company out there is data-driven if they're not becoming data-driven. Data science is probably one of the hottest professions within IT, and it doesn't seem like that's slowing down.
This is true.
The rate and amount of data that exists out there and being collected, and the ways we're collecting it, I mean, I sometimes look at like some of the CES inventions that are going out there, like the smart hairbrush and like the smart mirror and all these sort of things. Like, there's no shortage of data being collected. Like, that's just going, you know, big data is nothing. Like, IoT is going to blow the water out of all of that. You know, look, I mean, this community is right in the right spots to be relevant within there. And you keep hearing, and I keep hearing more and more organizations, especially I think we're seeing an uptick in the pharma industry of, you know, look, this is real. This is something we're going to be using. How can we make sure we're using this in a way that we can trust using it for the next, you know, 10, 20 more years? And so I think that's going to be the next leap that this community is going to work through. The good news is I think the right people are at the table. And I think that's something you're going to start to see as R is kind of getting past its teenager stages as a community and starting to get into that early adult stage where it's like, oh shit, I got to pay a rent now. I got to get a real job. Not that our people get jobs. Everybody has jobs in R. But you know where I'm getting at. Like, you have to be the big grown up now. We're seeing that. And that's a normal thing for communities. And this is where I'm thrilled that the R Consortium partners with the Linux Foundation, because this is what we do. I mean, the Linux kernel went through the same exact stuff. And so we're able to learn from all those experiences across industries and help this one along.
Thank you so much for your answers and your insight. Do you have any concluding remarks?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the podcast. I will have to be a regular subscriber now, although I have a horrible habit of not wanting to listen to myself on podcasts, so I might have to break my rule here.
I'm terrified.
Yeah. But no, I'm just thrilled to be here. I'm always thrilled at just the open source that is just happening in different pockets of the world, in Scotland especially. You know, I'll be talking about that a little bit in my talk here in about 40 minutes. Yeah, a little bit here.
Looking forward to that.
I am too. It will be entertaining. It will talk very little bit about data and AI, because you all have been hammered with that this week. So I'm going to focus on the open source angle and hopefully bring some interesting industry examples out there and, you know, talk about some of the challenges that open source, you know, is facing. I mean, open source, you know, it might sound all like roses and butterflies and unicorns, but it has things it struggles with too. And you know, intentionality is the only way you sort of work your way past that. And it's always kind of it's never a battle with winners or losers. It's more of sort of the constant struggle. And we're figuring it out, but, it's thrilled just to be talking to people in this space, because it's great talking about these technologies, what it's all about, adjacent technologies. If you have listeners that are in the data governance metadata space, ODPI Egeria, just go check it out. It will save your life. And there's just, you know, the Linux Foundation has other projects in the deep learning and AI and edge space that it's building big foundations around. So yeah, go check this stuff out. It's really good stuff.
Thanks so much, John, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.